Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, I'm very pleased to have two live guests in my in the studio with me today. Both of my guests are extraordinary women who followed their own path and become extremely successful in their own right. Susan Wiggs is a number one New York Times bestselling author with many awards to her name. She lives and writes on Bainbridge Island and wants you to remember this. Don't get so busy that you forget to fall in love. And I'll introduce her in just a moment. Coming up around 12:30, does size matter? Well, my second guest says no. You might think that a Fortune 500 company like Starbucks has little in common with a small meat vendor in Malaysia or a jewelry maker on Whidbey Island. Yet Seattle businesswoman and former Microsoft manager Whitney Keyes says, surprisingly, they have a great deal in common. She says success for every organization boils down to just five things, and we'll share those with you later this hour. First, I'm very pleased to welcome Susan Wiggs to the show today. She's an international best-selling author with millions of copies of her books sold around the globe. She's a Washington Post, USA Today, Publishers Weekly, and number one New York Times best-selling author. She's also three-time Rita Award winner and winner of the Dorothy Parker Award of Excellence. Susan Wiggs is known for her strong women's fiction, celebrating the power of love, family, and the nuances of human nature. Her latest book is the ninth in the Lakeshore Chronicles. Early reviewers are calling Return to Willow Lake her best yet. Susan Wiggs, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you could come across and join us live in the studio today. It makes a very nice change to have an actual body with me. I appreciate you being here.
Well, I love being here. It feels really good to get out, especially on a beautiful day like this.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? So you are such a very educated woman. You're a Harvard graduate. You were a math teacher. I read that you were born to write. So how did this all come about for you?
Oh, I was born to write. I actually have writing samples dating back to age three. I was one of those kids who just thought it looked so important to sit there and draw the letters. I had one of the all-time great moms, still have her, actually. And she was the one who would sit there and take the dictation. You know, I'd say, write this down. Yeah, I'd say, Mom, write this down. And before I could read or write, she was taking dictation from me. And then she would then send the little stories that I would write or dictate to her mom, who kept them in a shoebox, so I still have them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
And on your website, it says that your first book was self-published. I think you were, what, six-ish?
Eight.
And you made this homemade self-published book, and you still have that, too.
I still have that. And I actually remember creating that when I was 8 years old, because I was in the third grade, and I had a teacher who was really one of those magic teachers that you wish every kid would have. And I told her I was a writer, and she said, well, a writer writes, so you should be writing. And I thought that sounded like a great idea. So I sat down and made a book with the copyright page, and it works like a book, and it looks like a book. I'm very proud of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, looking at your website, you have written a ton of books. Exactly how many have you written?
Oh, I can't even tell you exactly, because I stopped counting. It was very distracting to me to keep tallying them up. So I think I stopped counting around 30. I tell people more than 30. And some of them are republished in different editions and so forth. So the number, you can look at my books on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, and it looks like there's a zillion of them, but some are different editions of the same book. So I've left off counting, but each one is just another step in this journey. I love it. I love to write. I always have. I always have written. I've done other things, but I always have written and always will.
Now, have you? Is there a favorite of your books that you hold dear to your heart? Sometimes when I talk with authors, they have one book that really just they hold dear.
Yes. For me, it's always the next book. You know, the one that I haven't ruined.
I hear that a lot, too.
Yes, I haven't ruined it for myself by writing it down, because the book in your head, and probably anybody who's ever wanted to write can relate to this, the book in your head is almost always so much grander and bigger and you know, off the charts, amazing, until you commit it to paper. And then you have to say, this is perfectly good. It might not be exactly the vision in my head, but here it is. Mm-hmm. And of that, those books, of my published books, my favorite is actually the one that's out right now, Return to Willow Lake. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, you know, you can tell from my opening remarks that I've had a lot of really positive, influential women in my life, starting with my mom, grandmothers, and teachers, and so forth. And so this book, probably more than any other that I've written, is a real celebration of the mother-daughter bond. Mm-hmm. And so Nina and Sonnet in this book are such a pair. They're such a team. They encourage each other so much, and they fight their way through it as well. I mean, I don't sugarcoat their conflicts or anything. That's what makes the book kind of juicy. But that's one reason this is a personal favorite. And the other reason is I had a lot of really fun, fantastic, crazy things happening in my personal life while I was writing it. And so there's kind of a little cryptic dedication page. Two Twitter names from and that was a little shout out to the love of my life, now my husband, and that was all sort of coming together as I was writing this book last year. So it was kind of an exciting time in my life. Yes.
I was going to ask you what was happening, because in the acknowledgments of your book, you quote Winston Churchill, who says, "When you're going through hell, keep going."
Yes,
and
yes.
You mentioned that
I did have my year in hell. Yes.
You faced your year of hell.
I faced my year in hell. There were a lot of negative things going on in my life. And that quote, more than any, kind of was a reminder that there's really no alternative. When you're going through hell, you keep going. And, you know, eventually, and I'm sitting here living proof that you emerge on the other side and it's better than ever. And this book kind of celebrates that as well. And it's something that I imagine, especially Nina, the mom character in this book, would probably resonate. And she's the wise one who says the little quote about, you know, don't get so busy that you forget to fall in love.
Right.
She has a lot of inner wisdom, so I think she would relate to that quote as well, especially given what's going on with her in the book.
Right. Well, do you attribute the strong women in your life and your resilience to getting you through that year of hell? I mean, what was it that kept you going through
Absolutely.
That year?
Absolutely. I had a really sturdy support system in my parents, my family, my amazing, amazing grown daughter, who's like my best friend, and my friends. And one thing that I learned, you know, during the tough times is your friends are there for you. I was usually the friend that everybody leaned on. And then when I needed something, it was a real epiphany for me to say, I can tell them I need you now, you know, come help me. And it would happen. And it was magic. And that's how you find out, you know, what a beautiful thing a friendship can be.
So, yes. Yeah. And you find out who your real friends are, too.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. So let's share a little bit about the story of this book with our listeners. And then we're going to ask you to read just a couple of paragraphs before we go to break on that.
Return to Willow Lake is part of a series that I write quite frequently called the Lakeshore Chronicles. Happily for readers, I don't write them so that each book has to be read in succession, mainly because I have a terrible memory. I can't recall. I just love the milieu I've come up with. It's this incredible, beautiful, beautiful corner of upstate New York in the Catskills by a lake called Willow Lake. in a beautiful town called Avalon. And it's become even more beautiful to me because in the actual book, Return to Willow Lake, my publisher was nice enough to create these beautiful end papers with a map of Camp Cayuga, the summer camp where it all takes place, and the little town of Avalon on the shores of the lake. So it's very much become this fantasy world for me. So that's really fun. I wanted to tell this story about a young late 20s woman, very career-oriented, very success-oriented, who gets dropped a bomb in the middle of her life, and she's called home to this tiny town that she couldn't wait to leave. And suddenly she finds herself back there. Her mother needs her. Her friends need her. And lo and behold, she runs into this incredibly yummy, unfinished business that she left behind in the form of a young man named Zach, who
sounds rather delicious, if you ask me.
Yes, it definitely is. I also wanted to touch on a part of pop culture that I'm kind of fascinated with, which is reality TV. So I created a phony reality TV show about actually a felon. She's kind of a hip hop icon who, as her community service, has to come back to the summer camp and work with inner city kids. And she's quite the character. So she kind of adds a little side interest.
Yeah, and as you say on your website, it's very timely. There's election stuff going on, single mother, family topics in there, women making major career choices in midst of family illnesses. So all stuff that we can all relate to.
I do. I take so much inspiration from my readers in their lives. They are incredible about sharing with me little bits and pieces. And they keep it very real for me. What's happening in a woman's life is the thing that fascinates me that I want to write about.
Great. Well, we are lucky enough to Sarah and her publicist, Susan's publicist, and together they've given us some books to give away. So I'm going to give two away on today's show, and we're going to give two away on Facebook later on. So get ready, because when we come back from break, we're going to give you the number to call, and I'll let Eric pick which callers, because he answers the phone. But we're going to give away two of Susan's books today. So we're going to go to break, and Sarah, I'd like to ask you if you'd just read us out to break a couple of paragraphs from the book.
Starting now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll do it. This is Nina, the mom, and Sonnet, the daughter. They're just about to walk out as part of a wedding party. "What do you say?" Nina asked. "Shall we go help Daisy get married?" Nina grinned. "She wouldn't dare make a move without you. Or you. Honestly, when you married Daisy's dad, she hit the stepmom jackpot." Nina's grin turned to a soft smile, and her dark eyes took on an expression that pulled Sonnet into days gone by, when it had just been the two of them making their way in the world. Nina had turned a teenage pregnancy into a small but lovely life for herself and Sonnet. Yes, she was married now, unexpectedly in the middle of her life, but their two-against-the-world time together belonged solely to Nina and Sonnet. "You're going to go all mushy on me, aren't you?" Sonnet said. "Yeah, baby, I am. Just wait until you're the bride. I'll need CPR. The shadows in the room were just starting to deepen, and evening was coming on. "No, you won't, Mom," Sonnet assured her. "You'll rise to the occasion. You always do." Nina took her hand again, and together they stepped through the door.
My guest, Susan Wiggs, her book, Return to Willow Lake. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Did you know 1 in 3 adults is at risk for kidney disease, and kidney failure is more than 3 times higher in African Americans? If you have high blood pressure or diabetes, you could be the one. Visit the National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org. Now, you know.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Conversations Live has a new Facebook page, and we'd love you to join us there. Click on Like to join our page, and you can share a link to your business or event, or share a few words about yourself and what's happening in your world. You can even recommend future guests or topics. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair Facebook, log in, and leave a post. Look forward to meeting you there.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Susan Wiggs. She is a number one New York Times bestselling author. She's won accolades and accolades, as I read in the beginning of this show today. Her latest book is number nine in the Lakeshore Chronicles. It's called Return to Willow Lake. One of the things that I always like to know when I talk with authors is what their writing process is like. Some people like to outline very heavily. Others take a more organic. I read that you actually write a full bio for your characters. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
I do. And I feel the same way. Whenever I get together with another writer, we're always comparing notes and methods. I think we're all convinced that somebody has an easier way because it's not actually easy, but it's really, really intense and creative, and I just love it. One of the things that I do before I start actually writing the novel itself is I try to tap into the character's voice, because I don't want all my characters to sound like me. That would be boring and not very realistic. So I will write a first-person bio, you know, speaking as if I'm, you know, that girl with her little tiny Manhattan apartment having boyfriend troubles, or if I'm that, you know, woman getting a shocking diagnosis at the doctor. Mm-hmm. I try to pick a big emotional moment in their life and then talk, you know, just to myself about it in the first person. And it helps me nail the character in a way that I think makes them seem more realistic in the mm-hmm. book. So I do that. I do write an outline because I like a roadmap. It's not terribly detailed and I tend to stray from it, but I do like to have the main action of the novel sketched out for myself. Where are they going? What are they doing? Who do they meet up with? What conflicts do they work through? That sort of thing. And I do that, and then I just dive in. And I think we visited a little before we came into the studio, and I actually have my handwritten manuscript with me because I'm always on deadline, and I tend to want to handwrite everything first before I commit it, you know, type it up on the computer and start really working on the editing process. My rough draft is truly rough. It's handwritten in a big fat notebook.
Yes, and I can attest to that because I saw you doing this in the lobby before we came in.
I drag it around everywhere, on the ferry, onto the patio if the weather's good, but usually just, you know, around here on the couch in front of the fire.
Awesome. So this is the ninth in the Chronicle Lakes, the Lakeshore Chronicles. How much, I would guess that living by the water yourself kind of inspires you a little. I read that you start each writing day with a walk around on the lake shore.
I do.
On the waterfront shore.
Talk to us how that tell us how that inspires you.
Well, I'm very lucky to live in this really scenic area. I'm on a beach, so I do, and I have dogs, so all of that kind of lends itself to a nice big walk. And it helps me, I believe, really, really strongly in the rhythm of a person walking alone. It's almost like a walking meditation. If you set some intention in your mind and you begin to walk, it loosens up the imagination and frees you. I'm not going to go all new agey on you, but because I'm really pretty practical,
right,
I'm
right.
usually thinking of a problem in the book. Okay, she's here. How do I get her from point A to point B? And the walk really helps me with that. And I think it doesn't hurt that it's a physical thing that a writer can do, because writing is a very sedentary profession. So I try to stay active in other areas of my life.
Yeah, there's definitely something out there. And I think, yes, as you probably said, the rhythm of the writing helps you get in that groove a mm-hmm. little.
Yes.
Do you ever experience writer's block?
No, not. I would not say per se. I almost always can. I've written myself in a corner and I don't quite know where the story's going next. But that's not so much as a block as a problem, maybe a blockage. I don't know, maybe instead of walking that problem off, maybe I would eat chocolate, preferably chocolate.
I just put a picture on my Facebook page yesterday. It said something like, stop, back away from the fridge, good, now go to your desk and start writing.
Yes, exactly. I think that a lot of us, especially since we're working from home and we don't have a strict schedule, it's a little too easy to push back and say, wow, I'm really stuck. Let me go make a sandwich.
Tell me what the word discipline means to you, Susan.
Discipline means fulfilling your obligation, however that looks. If I have, committed to getting a book done, then my discipline is to have the focus, the mental focus and the self-discipline to make sure that that's something that I do, as opposed to surfing the net or playing hooky, both of which I love to do. But discipline means putting aside those pleasures until I get the work done.
Mm. And how do you define success?
For me, success is a good story well told. The New York Times list and the accolades and the awards, they all come way after I've done my job. So for me, the real feeling of success comes from getting to the end of a piece and looking back and saying, that's the best I've got. I'm ready to put this out there. I'm ready to get this published. And it's so satisfying to finally see something in print and start hearing back from readers,
mm-hmm.
good and bad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're very opinionated. They'll let me know what they think. But I still feel successful because I've done what I set out to do.
Right. I heard that your listeners don't like it when you curse, when your characters curse in the book.
Oh, they do. It's really hard because I write about firefighters and military people. And they some of them just really use some harsh language. And I can't really back off from that without sounding a little too whitewashed. So sometimes there's a little gritty reality that might be too gritty for, mm-hmm. delicate readers, but they're usually pretty good natured about mm. it.
Well, Susan, we're right at the end of this segment. I now have to let you scoot out of here so you can catch the ferry back to your island. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Oh, just gratitude. I'm so happy for this interview and this day and all the readers and listeners out there. I couldn't be happier to just have a new book out this month.
Yeah. And we hope this is very successful. Early reviewers have said this is your best yet. Susan Wiggs, my guest, The Lakeshore Chronicles, Return to Willow Lake is her latest book. It's the 9th in The Lakeshore Chronicles. And you can find out more about Susan at susanwiggs.com. SusanWiggs.com. Please do stay with us when we come back. We'll be joined by another Seattle successful woman, Whitney Keyes. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to All Breed Equine Rescue in Marysville and Northwest Cellars Winery, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's the fourth Sunday in a five-Sunday month, so that means a bonus show this month. What we'll be doing is still undecided, either a special vet Sunday with a veterinary specialist or a healing Sunday with Accutonics for dogs and cats with open phone lines for your behavior and training calls. Tune in to find out. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Move over, pandas. There's a new adorable wild animal on the scene. British zoologist, filmmaker, National Geographic associate, and sloth aficionado, Lucy Cook talks about her latest work in Costa Rica. Vicki also talks with award-winning science and culture writer Mary Ellen Hannibal, who traveled the spine of the continent to report on the most ambitious wildlife conservation project yet. Tune in Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Conversations Live has a new Facebook page, and we'd love you to join us there. Click on Like to join our page, and you can share a link to your business or event, or share a few words about yourself and what's happening in your world. You can even recommend future guests or topics. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair Facebook, log in, and leave a post. Look forward to meeting you there.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Whitney Keyes. She's an international speaker, marketing expert, and strategic communications professor. For more than 20 years, she's helped organizations and individuals become more successful. And who doesn't want more success? As a senior manager for Microsoft, Whitney managed global marketing campaigns and helped the company's primary philanthropic program, Unlimited Potential. Prior to that, she worked for the City of Tacoma, helping over 500 small businesses stay in business. She's got a very impressive resume. She's also worked as a strategic advisor for American Express and as marketing consultant to thousands of businesses around the world through the U.S. State Department. And I'm going to bring Whitney on, and we're going to hear the rest of her story in her own words. Whitney Keyes, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Vicki.
Well, you've got such an impressive and diverse background, but it's all kind of around the same focus. I read that you, when you were younger, you worked in your father's retail store. Did that kind of get you started in this direction?
It did. At a very young age, before it was legal, my brother and I were forced to work for my parents.
I can relate to that, too.
Can you? It's great, I think, to be born into an entrepreneurial family. Both my parents were artists. And so at a very young age, we were expected to work at craft fairs and sell in our retail store and help produce the product as well as work on marketing. So I did get those skills early on.
Oh, awesome. And I should tell listeners, your new book is called Propel, 5 Ways to Amp Up Your Marketing and Accelerate Business. And this is a really great book. I mean, I read through this, and I do this for other people myself, but it totally inspired me because I'm a bit like the cobbler who has no shoes, you know?
Yes, I can relate to that. I know.
And I'm thinking that many listeners out there who want to either start their own business or have their own business are in the same kind of situation. So we're going to share some great information from here.
That would be great.
From your book.
So you worked with your parents when you were growing up. At what point did you start with Microsoft?
Well, Microsoft came a bit after that. After running my family's art gallery, then I went to work for the city of Tacoma, and I helped 500 small businesses stay in business, try to generate sales. The image of Tacoma, which is 30 minutes south of Seattle, is sort of as the stepchild of Seattle. And so those businesses were struggling quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I decided to change gears and go from government, zero budget to Microsoft, where you have million-dollar marketing budgets, huge teams to work with. It was a very different experience.
$8 billion business, one of those projects you were working
on. Yes, very, very big.
$8 billion. Yeah, so big difference there. And so then you, at some point you obviously decided, hey, I want to become self-employed. And I think this often happens if you've grown up with entrepreneurial family. Sometimes you want to get your feet wet and go work in the corporate world or see the other side of things. But at what point did you start to think, I'd like to tip my toe into my own business?
You know exactly what it was, is there was a business in Redmond, which is right where Microsoft is based. It was called Uba's, and it was a funky Mexican grill with sort of a unique style to its recipes. And I had been a customer, and they were looking for help doing their marketing and media relations. They were trying to generate more sales and build awareness of their brand. So I started supporting them on the side for free, not charging anything, just getting paid in chips and salsa. And I enjoyed it so much, and they were small, and you could really see the difference and impact with what you were doing. And that was such a contrast to Microsoft, where in some ways doing marketing and PR was easy in a way. I mean, you send out a press release, everybody's going to cover the news that comes out from Microsoft. Right. So it was a different challenge, and that really motivated me to step out. But it was very challenging to leave your medical benefits, your 401k, that really comfy, nice salary. It's hard. It's not always easy being self-employed, but it's very rewarding.
I think you, I can't remember who said it, but he said you either have to be very confident in your own abilities or insane.
Or a little of both.
A little of both, maybe.
So true.
So tell me what kind of clients you work with, because I know your book is really across the gamut for pretty much anybody, because you've just followed basic principles which apply to everyone.
Yes, and that is true. And I do work with all different types of organizations. I'm currently working with the Port of Seattle, helping them with some social media strategies. And then I work with very small businesses as well. I was just out at Regis University in Denver, Colorado, speaking with marketing students there. So I do a variety of different work. And you hit it on the head, Vicky. I think that when you think about marketing principles, they are basically the same whether you work at a large organization or a small one. And there are five that I touch on in my book. The first and most important is strategy, kind of keeping the end in mind. And then I move into story, which is about your brand and trying to figure out a way to convey your messages and story to your customers. And then strength, which is about not feeling like you have to do everything yourself, but leveraging and collaborating with your customers, partners, and even the media. And then shifting into simplicity, having a really simple marketing plan and process that's straightforward, and speed, getting into that execution, getting results, not being afraid of failing, and trying to really move your business forward quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now, you work with all kinds of people. Do you find a very common theme when you go out to work with them? You're nodding your head there. So tell us what that is.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. Whether I'm working with an American Express or a small business, every organization is trying to move forward and usually needs to do it quickly, has pretty limited resources. Even when I was consulting with American Express, they were trying to launch a test pilot project. And so time was of the essence. They didn't have a lot of budget to throw at this. They needed to get some results very quickly. And that's what I'm known for, is giving people ideas and then really shifting that into action, getting out there, course correcting along the way. But time is money these days. You've got to get some results.
Right. Now, I can see this book. I mean, you say in here that this is also for creatives, for artists, freelancer artists. I can also see it for people who are actually job hunting. I think they'd benefit from it, too, from going through those steps, because it is all about selling ourselves in the end of the day. It's all about marketing.
It is. Yeah, I appreciate you touching on the creative aspect. Since I come from a family of artists, I had artists in mind, whether you're a musician or a painter or jewelry maker. And I'm speaking tonight at the Elliott Bay Bookstore at 5:30 to actually artists and creative types. So there'll be a lot of different folks there, which will be fun. And yes, it applies to, I teach at Seattle University, and so I'm hearing from college students all the time that have a challenge in setting their resume and cover letter apart from someone else's, or how do they create an interesting portfolio, either online or print, that they bring in and set themselves apart. And so it does apply to them, those same principles of what's your strategy when you're trying to get a job, to how do you act quickly and get that job before someone else does.
Right, right. Now, marketing isn't, you say in the book, isn't about what you want to do or what you want to do for your business. It's about what your customers want.
I do think so, yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it is true when we are especially entrepreneurs, we have so many great ideas. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a market for your product or your service, you're going to be speaking to an empty room. And so it's very important to listen to your customers and get feedback from them and not be afraid of that. We're in this day and age where I think we as business owners are to blame. We've made it so easy for customers to critique us online and write negative comments and make negative tweets. But we've got to listen to that and take it to consideration. If a customer takes time to go online and write good or bad feedback, it's important to incorporate that into what we're doing.
Right, right. While we're talking about being online, let's talk a little bit about social media, because, you know, there's, I mean, it's been around for long enough now that I think the buzz is kind of dying. But some people still think I've got to be in social media regardless. And not every business, not every audience is going to be plugged into social media. So how do we determine if social media is going to be the most effective? Because you have a study in the book by Gallup, and they looked at 20,000 businesses or 20,000 social media users, and they did not find it the most effective way to reach their customer.
No, and yet, yes, our society is obsessed with it. Everyone thinks they need to be doing it. It's driving me crazy. Well, I keep comparing it to, and you sort of identified this already, these are just new marketing communications tools. And actually, they started as communication tools for individuals, not for businesses. So now we have businesses trying to embrace them and figure out how to use them to sell products and services. And these social media tools are just new opportunities that we have, but they are no different than a billboard or an advertisement or press release. You have all these different opportunities, and yet we're not all feeling like we have to buy radio ads or we have to place TV ads. So it goes back to that first point in my book of being very strategic and smart and thinking through what you're trying to accomplish. Think about that first, and then you move into how am I going to go about doing that. I work with a lot of businesses where an old-fashioned A-board wooden sandwich sign on the sidewalk brings in more customers than anything they do online.
Isn't that interesting?
Or the flyers that you see up on a bulletin board in a coffee shop with the little tear-offs. I know a personal organizer who comes into people's homes. That is the number one way that she gets clients. She can do all of the buzzing she wants on Facebook, but the paper flyers, those tear-off phone numbers, are how she gets her business.
Right, because I think the thing people forget a lot with social media is how do you get people to that social media in the first place?
Right.
You know, once they're there, it's one thing.
But it's a great point, yes. And I keep thinking it's great that people like you, but that's not really a deep, committed relationship, mm-hmm. nor is it an involved conversation. And that's very different than referring someone on or retweeting. So people brag about having so many likes or so many friends, but what's the depth of that relationship? And again, is that translating into sales? Is that translating into warm leads? Is that moving your organization's brand forward?
Mm-hmm. And I went up to the Blogwell conference, I think it was the end of last year, and I mean, they have some really big companies up there putting, you know, money behind their social media, but still nobody could measure the return on investment in those activities. So
yeah, I think the jury is still out. That said, I mean, there's no doubt these are extremely powerful, easy to use, free tools that are doing a lot of good. There's another organization that is based here in the East Side called Getting Organized Magazine. It's a woman who just launched a print magazine. So seems crazy. Why would she be doing that now? But she really believes that she has a market for this paper-based magazine. And she's having tremendous success using Facebook. she's experimented with it quite a bit with what her posts are, tips on getting organized, how to organize your home. Then she found if she posts funny cartoons about organizational disasters or the hoarders out there, those are the things that are creating a lot of dialogue among people on her Facebook page. So again, it still takes some experimenting, trying, getting out there and seeing what your audience would like. I was speaking with a lawyer the other day. It would not be appropriate probably for a patent lawyer to be posting cartoons about lawsuits on her Facebook page.
Right.
But it works for an organization magazine.
Right.
So we all have a different recipe for marketing success.
Right. And it's finding that. So we'll talk about some of the ways that we can figure that out when we come back. We're going to take a very quick break. And my guest in this segment is Whitney Keys. Her book is called Propel: 5 Ways to Amp Up Your Marketing and Accelerate Business. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967 because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Move over, pandas. There's a new adorable wild animal on the scene. British zoologist, filmmaker, National Geographic associate, and sloth aficionado Lucy Cook talks about her latest work in Costa Rica. Vicki also talks with award-winning science and culture writer Mary Ellen Hannibal, who traveled the spine of the continent to report on the most ambitious wildlife conservation project yet. Tune in Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Did you know 1 in 3 adults is at risk for kidney disease? If you have high blood pressure or diabetes, you could be the one.
I was looking in the newspaper and saw an article that said if you have symptoms for kidney disease, you should see your doctor. And I really didn't expect anything because I felt healthy. I didn't worry about my borderline high blood pressure. Turns out it was silently inflicting kidney disease. When you know, it's almost too late.
Visit the National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org. Now, you know.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm pleased to have a local Seattle businesswoman in the office, in the studio with me today. Whitney Keys is her name. She's a former Microsoft manager. She's a strategic communications consultant and professor and international speaker. Her new book is called Propel: 5 Ways to Amp Up Your Marketing and Accelerate Business. And this is a really great tool for anyone who's starting up a business or wants to revitalize their business, or maybe as a freelance person or a marketing student. Some really great tools, tips, and advice in here from an expert. So I want to look at some of the ways that we can figure out if we're not getting the kind of traffic we want coming in, you know, whether it's to social media or website or, you know, customers through the door. What are some of the ways we can figure out what's going on? And you give several tools in here, like, you know, the SWOT analysis, and we talk about surveys and stuff. Where do you think somebody should start? And I know it's going to be a little different depending on everybody's individual circumstances.
It is a little different, but there are some basic things that apply to everyone. The first thing is you've got to look at, is it you? Let's be honest. It's like any relationship. Are you doing something wrong? Are your marketing messages not really compelling or unique? Is your brand not really clear and distinct from others? So I think taking a look in the mirror at what you're doing, and are you doing something wrong? Is your e-newsletter packed full of too much text and people are busy and don't have time to read it? And then you could kind of look at, okay, is it them? Is it something going on with my customers or my clients, the people that I'm trying to communicate with? And that could be that we're in a down economy right now. So the types of people that you're choosing to work with don't have the budget to invest in you. So taking a look at you, yourself, them, and then it might be what's going on in the industry. I've sort of mentioned that too, or what's going on in the world, and are there any bigger impact issues that are negating your marketing efforts? Then beyond that, you're right. I would say go right back to strategy and get focused again on what are your goals? What's your long-term vision? What are you working toward? And then the next step would be taking a look at that situation. What's going on inside your business, outside, and sort of dissecting it and moving through that process. That is true for any organization.
Right. Now, a lot of people struggle with their story. When you go into work with somebody, what kind of tips do you give them to develop good story?
Oh, the first thing that I do is I, again, go back to who is their customer. And there's a great example of a company that I worked with. It was a chocolate truffle company, and it was owned by a mother and a daughter. And I sat down
with story.
Them.
I remember the story.
Yes, this is in the book.
You and your partner wasn't eating chocolate at the time, so you ate all the chocolates.
You have a wicked memory, yes. She was on the Atkins diet, which was I was thrilled about. And they made these amazing chocolate truffles, but they weren't selling them. So the first question I asked is, who is your market? And they said, well, people who like chocolates. And that is too big and broad of a market to go after. They were based in downtown Seattle. So I asked them a few more questions and tried to uncover the story behind their business, how it originated, the story behind these chocolate truffles, what was so unique and different about them than others that were out there. And out of that, we found some very interesting little nuggets that they were using all local organic ingredients, that it was a mother and daughter owned business that had never done this before. So all kinds of interesting little pieces of information that we could pull out. And then that identified new branches of customers that they could go after. These were also chocolate truffles that were sized around like a small orange, so they weren't little tiny ones. And then we opened up all kinds of opportunities with boutique hotels, really interesting restaurants that served only local organic food that might like to add this to their dessert menu. We also identified these as nice high-end corporate gifts for some of the larger companies in our area, Starbucks, Microsoft, and so forth. So that really helped them break through and realize what's not working and uncover new opportunities.
Yeah, exciting story when you see something turn around like that. It must make you feel really good, too.
It is, yes. It goes back to, again, seeing a small business, even getting a few $1,000 is a huge success for them.
Right. Right. And so many small business owners are busy working in the business when they should be working on the business. So let's talk about how we can strengthen and boost collaboration, because so many people think, well, I don't know where to begin. I don't know who to partner with. I don't know who can help me.
Right. I think the first group to look at is, again, your customers, especially your VIP customers. Those are or individuals or organizations that are out there that already love you. They do repeat business with you. They like your brand. They might be the people that are tweeting about you. They're the people that you could pick up the phone or send an email and say, would you come in and talk to us a little bit about our business and how we could improve? People that you feel safe with. They're right at your fingertips. They're easy to access. And they're so willing to help you because they're already invested in your brand. The second group that is often overlooked are organizations that you could collaborate with that might even be your competitors. So going back to that chocolate shop or the chocolate truffle company, there might be other chocolate shops in Seattle that they could partner with and do sort of a larger industry trade show or do group advertising, whatever makes the most sense. And there are some chocolate shops that actually did that in Seattle. Theo Chocolates, Franz Chocolates, O Chocolate, and the Chocolate Box. Seattle has a lot of chocolate businesses in town. All would be competitors if you were a tourist or a citizen needing to buy chocolates.
Right,
you could
right.
go to any of those, but they pooled their resources and they've done amazing things when it comes to marketing. So those are two different types of groups that you could do some type of interesting collaborative marketing campaigns with and get great results.
Awesome. And I can see you're very, very passionate. You don't just talk about being passionate about this. You are very passionate about this. And you say in the book, well, who wouldn't love marketing? You get to play with pretty things and create things. But so many people get caught up in that. What do you see as the number one roadblock to getting a good marketing plan together?
Oh, I think today, as we've talked about, people are overwhelmed. There are so many different choices. We've got all the new, shiny, exciting social media tools. Pinterest is mm-hmm. a new tool that's just popped up. That's, if people don't know, it's similar to Facebook, but it's all about visual images. So there isn't a lot of text. And I see people now, businesses buzzing, thinking they need to have Pinterest boards. And so people get overwhelmed, and then they feel like they have to overdo it, and they get spread very thin trying to do tweets and blogs and podcasts and all sorts of activities on top of standard email newsletters and email marketing and flyers. And then they start making mistakes,
right?
And their marketing isn't working, and they get frustrated. So I see that a lot, and it again goes back to just stepping back, thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, and then getting that clear, simple plan in place and getting results quickly.
Good. And the last, we've talked about the five-step strategy, story, strength, and simplicity, and speed is the last one. You say there are a lot of things people can do in the short term to accelerate moving forward. We don't have to wait until everything's perfect, perfectly aligned, perfectly created. How do we move forward quickly?
A great example that is also in the book is a filmmaker in Seattle named Brett Renville. And going back to strategy, he's 20-something, and he's very focused on someday having one of his films in Sundance Film Festival. He's a vegan, and he wants to do interesting, sustainable mm-hmm. types of films. Well, he is always looking for new opportunities. He was flipping through. He also is a fashion photographer, was flipping through Vogue magazine, saw an interesting story about a non-government organization that was doing work in Rwanda in Africa. Looked up that there was a model who was doing activities there, did a little research on the organization online, found an email, sent an email and said, hey, I'm a cinematographer. I do sustainable work. I would love to help you produce a video about this program that you're doing with this model in Rwanda. The very next day, he got an email back from the director. And within a week, he was on a plane heading over to Rwanda to film a documentary. So it just took an email and some initiative. I mean, he wasn't all buttoned up. Is his website perfect?
Right,
no.
Right.
He's 20-something. Does he have 20 years of experience? No. But he took that initiative and just sent an email.
Yeah.
So exactly to your point, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just get out there and do something.
Yeah. Case of when mental preparation meets opportunity, and he just took it.
Yes,
he did.
That's
awesome. That's yep. awesome. Well, we're right at the end of our segment. I could talk to you for a long while here, but
likewise.
We don't have much time. We're going to get booted out pretty soon. So very quick final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Whitney.
Oh, I think just don't overcomplicate things. Take your good ideas. Be smart about your marketing. Get out there. Have fun. If it doesn't work, don't take it personally. Keep moving forward.
Great. And listeners can find out more about Whitney and her work at WhitneyKeys.com, correct? WhitneyKeys.com.
Yes.
The book is called Propel, 5 Ways to Amp Up Your Marketing and Accelerate Business. A great book full of really interesting, very inspiring stories. So if you feel a little stuck, this is a good book to maybe help pick you up. And Whitney Keys, again, my guest, WhitneyKeys.com. You can even download a free chapter of her book at her website. We're going to have to scoot out of here in just a moment. I want to just please remind you about the survey that's coming up. It's important to me to get feedback from you if you have the time to take the survey. It's on 1150kknw.com, 1150kknw.com. And if you can just tell me what you'd like to see more of on the show, I'd really appreciate it. Survey runs just until October 7th. And we also have a new Facebook page on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. If you'd like to like us on there, we have some books to give away on there, and we're going to do random drawings periodically. So I guess that's it, Eric, right? We don't have anything more to say about the survey. Cool. He's giving me the thumbs up here. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed anything out there. All right. Well, I appreciate you being with us today. We'll be back next week with an all-new live show. You can find out more about us at conversationslive.net and follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair. Until next week, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.